Blog Talk Radio.
Church located in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the United States of America. Apostle Stanley and Apostle Bettina welcome you to their Sunday worship and services at their church location, 755 Lovejoy Road, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, starting at 10 a.m. Central Time, ladies and gentlemen. Also for live online TV and radio streaming, the broadcast, you can listen to the broadcast at 10:45 a.m. Central Time. You can connect on the radio broadcast and online streaming TV at the lighthouseoffaith.net. That's their church ministry website, lighthouseoffaith.net. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to get your Bibles out, get your pen and paper out, and get ready for another powerful program and a word from Chief Apostle Dr. Stanley Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, also, too, for those who are listening all around the world, please let everyone know Apostle Stanley is live. The call-in number to listen in is 347-843-4559. Call-in number, 347-843-4559. Ladies and gentlemen, we love to have you listening in. And you can read also, and the chat room is also open. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/menletstalk and look for the program Online Talk with Apostle Stanley Williams. You can also leave a message or you can leave a comment in the chat room as well. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm going to bring in Apostle Stanley Williams. God bless you, Apostle. We love you.
God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Men Let's Talk broadcast. I'm looking forward to ministering to you tonight. My heart tonight is just on miracles. The topic tonight is going to be miracles. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go right into what God wants us to talk about tonight. But I just want to also just bless everybody that's listening. Remember that the Men Let's Talk broadcast is not just for men, but it's also for women and anybody in the family who is open to listen, because God is ministering to his people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for pouring out your spirit upon all flesh in this hour. I thank you, Lord God, that your miraculous power and your divine grace is touching every soul that's listening. Father, I thank you, God, and even those that are not listening, that your hand will reach out and just touch and heal people everywhere who believe in you. I pray that people be saved, delivered, and healed, and come into the kingdom of God because they are convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Miracles. What is a miracle? Are there miracles today? Are miracles still happening? This is a question that I saw posed recently, and I responded to that question. This was my response. As long as God decides to intervene in the affairs of the temporal realm and to touch the lives of men and women, miracles cannot cease and have not ceased. You see, God is a spirit. We also are spirits, but we are in this temporal realm or this finite realm on earth. He, on the other hand, is an eternal spirit who dwells in the eternal realm in heaven. These are two separate realms, but they do impact each other. God often, throughout Scripture, interjected his power into the natural realm. So whenever you're dealing with the spirit, and God is a spirit, everyone that deals with him must deal with him in spirit and in truth. Whenever you're dealing with a spirit, and you're a natural man, even though you have a spirit, you're in this finite body. God, if he interjects himself into the physical realm and begins to touch your life, minister to you in any way, heal your physical body, bless you financially, bless your family, supernatural deliverance of any kind, then that is the miraculous in operation. Because the supernatural realm, or the realm that is above the natural, is affecting the realm of the physical, natural, and finite. You see, a miracle is defined as a marvelous event manifesting a supernatural act of a divine agent. In other words, that divine agent is God, in our case, as Christians. The word miracle goes on further to be defined as this. A miracle is an event not ascribable to human power or the laws of nature and consequently attributed to the supernatural. Now, of course, as I look at the word supernatural, I understand that to God, it's not supernatural. It's natural to him. But to us, it is above the natural, or it is extra or supernatural. Something that's carried out by a power far larger than us. A supernatural event or a miracle is something thought of as perceptible interpretation of the law of nature. It is a perceptible interruption, a perceptible interruption of the law of nature. It is something that exists above and beyond nature. Now, of course, the word natural is something that's according to nature, relating to nature. It exists or is produced by in nature. To us, it is normal. In our natural sense, of natural bodies, we are limited in scope. That's why it is called finite. It is limited. Our physical bodies, they deteriorate and die, even though our spirits don't. We are in a natural environment. But God, he is above the natural, not subject to natural laws or deficiencies. He has no lack. He is unlimited or infinite. He has no limitations whatsoever. He is free to do whatever he pleases. He has no boundaries. He is beyond boundaries. And so when we start looking at the concept of natural, we're looking at something that is ordinary to conscious man. Supernatural is defined as this. It is that which is not subject to the laws of physics, or that which is said to exist above and beyond nature. Therefore, a miracle is an interruption in the laws of nature. Some time ago, I preached a message, a series actually, called God is a Lawbreaker. And the message, or the moral of that message or series, was that God has power over every natural law, and he can change them anytime he pleases. He is living into what we perceive as a supernatural realm. He is above us. Now, the concept of the supernatural has some points that I want to just relay to you today as we open up and begin to flow into the concept of thought of miracles. First of all, when you're dealing with God, you're already dealing with the supernatural. When a man deals with an infinite being, and that infinite being connects with their life in any way, you're already dealing in the supernatural. Actually, every Christian, anyone who calls themselves a Christian, deals in the realm of the supernatural when they pray. If God answers, then the answer came from that infinite, eternal realm. And so I made some points, and I just want to lay these points out and just discuss them and bring clarity to the realm of the supernatural. Concept of preexistence and predestination are both supernatural in origin, because in the concept of preexistence, it is suggested that we already existed even before God laid the foundation of the world. We existed in his mind. Jeremiah 1:5 says this. He first uses the word before. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. In other words, there was an existence planted this prophet in his mother's womb, or before they had the sexual act or went into sexual intercourse. God already knew Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. even after God allowed him to be planted in his mother's womb, he knew it. Even when he was in his mother's belly growing, God already sanctified him. And he further goes on to say, or the scriptures do, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This was before he was ever born. Before he was ever planted, God knew him. In other words, there was a preexistence, and it was in God's mind. I was aware of you, Jeremiah. Before you became physical, I was fully aware. This supernatural being, this God, had in his mind the existence of a soon-to-be physical being who is a spirit in a body. He already was fully aware and engaged in his existence. It's when Jeremiah was born and he was a young child, God was involved in watching him grow in his preparation to become the great prophet that he became. This supernatural realm, observing and watching and being constantly alert to the growth and development of this particular individual until he was raised up to be the prophet that he was supposed to be. He literally told Jeremiah, he said, don't say that you're a child. Don't say that you're too young. Don't say what you can and cannot do. I made you. I know what you're capable of doing. I know it. I know what you have the capacity to do. The scriptures further go on to say this. In Psalms 139, verse 15, we now go from dealing with Jeremiah to dealing with David. And this is a very deep set of scriptures here. I'm going to read from Psalms 139, 15 through 16, and we're going to look at God knowing David even when he was in the lower part of his mother's body or in the earth or in the womb. Verse 15 said this, my substance was not hid from thee. Now the word substance here, it signifies some form of tangibility, meaning that David was talking about his physical existence, because that is substance. My substance was not hid from thee. That's amazing. This word substance here means bones. My physical structure was not hid from you, God. Even though I was being made in secret, no one else was aware of my existence. Maybe my mother, father knew I was there, but they couldn't see me. I was being formed in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance. So now here you have a supernatural being watching and observing someone being formed in their mother's womb. While my parts were yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. This passage here, just like Jeremiah 1:5, gives us a glimpse into the supernatural realm and God interjecting himself into the affairs of men. Again, a miracle is an interruption in the law of nature. God is standing by and he's watching this child be born. He's watching David. He's knowing him. He is aware of him. David is born, and as David becomes who he was supposed to become, maybe not even king yet, the supernatural power of God was present with him in the form of the anointing. God was there. The supernatural power of God emanating from that eternal realm into the natural gave David such power unto when David played on his harp, demons would leave. Gave David strength to kill lions, kill bears, and kill giants. David had prophetic insight. He wore the ephod, stood before the ark of God. David was anointed. This is God. Even the concept of predestination is supernatural, where God himself becomes fully aware and engaged before anything happens in the existence of a person. Predestination means something that's established before. What is it when God knows your destiny or what you're going to become even before you're ever born? You say, well, I don't have any physical existence yet, but you will. God is aware of it, and he's even guiding you before you impact your physical body. He's involved, touching, and knowing. He's aware beforehand of what's about to happen. He gives you a destiny. He gives you purpose, intent. And he firmly establishes what's supposed to occur even before you are being formed in your mother's womb. All of this is dealing with the supernatural, because God is looking and he's aware of a being before this being ever becomes physical. Then he allows through the act of intercourse, the birth or the beginning process of the birth of an individual, then the fetus, and then whatever else happens in the womb, and eventually the birth of a child, and then God is intimately involved in the life and observation of that child. He's looking from that eternal realm into this natural realm and eventually raises prophet like Jeremiah up, someone like David up, someone like you up, someone like me up to become exactly what he wants them to be, but he was intimately involved and aware of the individual before they were ever formed in their mother's womb. Paul takes up the argument in Romans chapter 8, and he says this, whom he did foreknow. You got to be aware, he's talking about people here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. This word foreknow signifies before anything physical ever occurred. He had already established that we would be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. I would like to suggest to you that Jeremiah 1:5 and Psalms 139:15-16 are not allegory. They are not fictitious. See, because if religion can make something allegory, it becomes a simple, short, moral story, something that can teach you a lesson. But these are not just moral stories. This is reality as we perceive God and know him. This is not allegory. This is not something imaginary. This is real. Paul says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Just like Jesus is real, foreknowledge of an individual is real. Destiny is real. And it is supernatural because God is involved in the unfolding of a life and the building of prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, saints, whoever he's working with. He is interjecting his power into the physical dimension to bring about something that he desires. That is supernatural. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 to say this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about moral stories. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him. Oh God, look at that. Before the foundation of the world, before anything was ever laid down, before he even started to create in Genesis, he was already fully aware of us. This supernatural being had his mind. He was aware of every fiber of our being, even before we became physical. And even after we became physical, God was still fully and intimately involved in, because he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And the purpose for the choosing was that we should be holy and without blame in him in love, having predestinated us according or unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Meaning that God did this because he wanted to. You see, God the Spirit coming down from heaven in Genesis chapter 2, forming the physical body. God is intimately involved in the physical dimension in this realm. All of the intricacies of the body, everything that we see in our body, all the veins, the muscles, the heart, the liver, the spleen, the kidneys, the lungs, all of these things God intimately formed, and they are physical. He got his hands dirty. One version says he placed his hands in the soil, or in the dirt, and formed a man. That took care and intimacy. This intricate body with all of its detail and its sophistication has to be formed with great care and intimacy. God now touching earth, a spiritual being now touching the natural, the supernatural, touching the physical and interacting with it on a continual basis. According to the good pleasure of his will, meaning that it pleased God to touch man, pleased God to be involved with man. It pleased God to touch and interrupt or interject his power into the affairs of man. And every time God chooses to interject, it's supernatural. Anytime God heals, it's an intervention in the natural course of events. Anytime God delivers someone from a tragedy, or God touches someone in and touches some child, delivers someone from drugs, delivers someone from this or that, or gets someone saved that quickens their mortal, or quickens their mortal body, that's the supernatural touching the physical. If God is intimate with man in any way, it's supernatural. when God comes into this finite realm and begins to conduct activities, it's supernatural. It's shocking to me. People that teach that the supernatural doesn't exist still pray and expect answers. If a spirit answers and you say, God answered my prayer, you just experienced the supernatural because he had to answer from his realm into this one. Isaiah 44:2 says this, thus saith the Lord that made thee. What he's saying is, I made you and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. In other words, God is helping people in the finite realm. The infinite realm is interjecting itself into the finite realm. Every single day is happening. Every time someone gets up and gives a testimony that God delivered me from this and God helped me with that, and God strengthened me, or God delivered my son, or God delivered my daughter, or God brought me through this, they're saying that God's hand reached into the physical dimension, this spirit, and changed the course of something that was happening in their lives. This is the supernatural. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. How can he help thee or help you unless he enters your realm? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. The activity of God in any life automatically constitutes the supernatural because, oh my God, because God's realm is interjecting itself into the natural realm. In order for God to touch us, he must cross the boundaries between the natural and the supernatural. You see, God is dealing with individuals, but God is also dealing with nations. If God is ever intimate with any individual, then the supernatural is occurring. God was individual. He was intimate in Isaiah 44:2. God was intimate in Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth put the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judea ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Thus that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. This is a God of power, and he's interjecting that power into our domain. If anybody's out there listening, if you're willing to receive that God wants to do something extraordinary in your life, something supernatural, something that will change the course of events, something that will cause you to be able to come out of what you're struggling with, something that will be able to touch your son, your daughter, your church, your pastor, your elder, your deacon, something that will be able to touch your husband, your wife, something that will be able to change the course of your life, that will shift you into destiny, that will cause you to become what you've never been able to become before. God's hand on your life, touching and moving. This is the supernatural, and he is ready to do it in your life now. You were born to taste the grace. You were born to walk in the power of God if you are a born-again believer. You were born to be not only powerful, but to be a deliverer. Isaiah 46, 3 through 5 said this, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoard hair, which I carry you, I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. A supernatural being carrying you, supernatural being delivering you, a supernatural being caring for you, a supernatural being healing you, a supernatural being empowering you, a supernatural being listening to you, a supernatural being watching you, a supernatural being interfering with negative affairs in your life to bring them straight, to make the crooked way straight, and to bring mountains low. God is interested in the affairs of men, and he is not inactive. The supernatural, miracles, God is working. Isaiah 49:15 says this, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I will not forget thee. God has not forgotten you. God has not overlook your situation. In fact, your situation is not too hard for God. Your situation is not beyond God's power. He will interfere. He will interject. He will come into that situation. Rebuke demons for your sake. Cause enemies to be challenged for your sake. Cause them to come at you one way, but flee before you seven ways. He caused the wall to be crushed down to the ground for Joshua. He called his son Jesus Christ to be raised from the dead. He brought miracles from the hands of Paul, just taking handkerchiefs off of his body. He caused Peter's shadow as it passed over people to cause them to be delivered. He caused a man at the gate called Beautiful to be raised up from his crippled state because he will touch the physical. My God, I love it. 1 Kings 9:3 says this, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Here's the point. Any answer to prayer is a supernatural act. If you're on your knees praying, you are not praying to a man because you know that the answer to your prayer is not in this realm. You're praying to the eternal God, asking him to do something for you while you're here on earth. If he ever answers, that is supernatural. He says in 1 Kings 9:3, and the Lord said unto him, God speaking to a man, I have heard thy prayers and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house. I mean, he's all involved in this thing. My God, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So now you see God watching over a man's house. In 2 Kings 20, starting at verse 1, it says this, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is a man. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord. Who in the world is he praying to? A spirit. Remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass after Elisha was gone, Elisha was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him. Now, here it is, God speaking to another man who is in the physical dimension, and God speaking from his realm into this one. The word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord. the God of David, thy father. I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of fig. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Look at God. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up unto the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards. See, God intervened in the natural course of affairs and called the sundial to go backwards. Don't tell me that God can't heal you. Don't tell me that God can't bless you. Don't tell me God can't anoint you. Don't tell me God can't deliver your son. Don't tell me God can't deliver your daughter. Don't tell me God can't bring you out of that situation. Don't tell me God can't break that thing. And don't tell me that he won't. Oh, my God. Proverbs 15:8 says this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayers of the upright are his delight. In other words, God is listening. God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, everyone that's a Christian right now, you ought to start shouting right now, because God is able. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's take a praise break right now. Let's take a praise break right now. And somebody, and glorifying the Lord, because he is good. He's ready to heal you right now. Ready to deliver you right now. He's ready to anoint you right now. He's ready to interject, interfere. He's ready to turn it. He's going to shift that thing. He's going to cause something to happen that will cause your life to change. He'll raise that ministry up. He'll get you that building. He'll cause something to happen so you come out of that situation. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll make a highway in the desert. Oh, God, I give you praise. Miracles are available today. They're available right now. As long as the Holy Spirit is with us, the miraculous will continue to occur. Mark 16:15 says this, and he said unto them, speaking to the disciples, soon to be apostles, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, God, I thank you. Anybody that believes what you say, this is going to happen to them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, God, I love that, because that means that the Holy Spirit has to come into that human spirit and connect with that spirit so it can be born again. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The act of salvation is a supernatural act. People arguing against the supernatural, forget. If you pray and God answers, that's a supernatural act. When you're born again, that's a supernatural act. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by mercy that he saved us. He saved us by the Holy Spirit. That's how he saved us. That is a supernatural act. It is not because we were so good. It's not because we were so right. It's because God loves us, and he wants to see us blessed. It's not because we did so good or we're so perfect. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, Titus 3:5 says. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Oh, God. And by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. All of these things are absolutely supernatural. He told his disciples, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to wait on the Holy Spirit. I want you to wait until you be endued with power from on high. I want you to wait until he rests on you. And when this happens, you will be my witnesses. You're going to be empowered to do what you couldn't do. My God, I love it. Let me finish Mark chapter 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Glory to God. I love it every single day. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So we're talking about believers. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. He's not just talking about Jews here. He's also talking about Gentiles. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It was after that that he was received up to heaven. After he let us all know through Mark 16:10-20, that there will be miracles. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Oh, my God. These signs. Jesus walked in miracles. In John 2:11, it says, this was the beginning of miracles at Cana when he turned water into wine. He manifested his glory. He was a man in the physical body with the same Holy Ghost that we have. John 3:2 says this, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. My God, look at this. Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among people. My God, that's the Holy Ghost. In Acts 8:6, it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. Acts 15:12 says this, and these were not apostles. These were deacons and miracles, supernatural miracles. Follow them. Acts 15:12 says this, then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Acts 19:11-12 says this, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Oh, my God. And diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, speaking to all Christians. You know that you Gentile, and he's talking to Gentile believers, not Jews, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another interpretation of prophecy. Or to another prophecy. To another diverse discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit develop, dividing to every man severally as he wills, causing things to happen in the natural dimension. Miracles are happening, or people wouldn't be born again. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Miracles. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, health, government, diversity of tongues. Now, God says, this Holy Spirit that we have, oh my God, God sent the as he was dealing with the apostles, God also bearing them witness in Hebrews 2:4, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. The Holy Ghost is still with us. Therefore, the miracles are still with us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as our broadcast begins to come to a close, I want to speak healing over you, divine blessings over you. John 14:26-27 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. God sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to be with us, to empower us, to anoint us. He sent him. He sent him. He told the apostles in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38-39, repent. God is involved in the finite realm. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. God is touching people's lives and cleansing them of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, power. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I thank God that we are the end time saints. We are the ones that are far off. We weren't in the first century. We're in the 21st century. But God is still enduing people with power. If you're out there today and you need a miracle, I just want to speak this over you. If you're sick in your body, my God, I love it. God is a healer. If you're sick in your body, I want you to remember that God doesn't say things that he doesn't mean. God doesn't speak unless he's able to back up what he says. He says, my word that goes out of my mouth does not go out and return to me void, but it accomplishes what I send it out to do. I'm going to speak this over you. If you're sitting there somewhere and you have sickness in your body, Holy Spirit, begin to do miracles right now. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice that needs to hear a healing word. And as I speak this word from your word, all I'm going to do is repeat you. I want you to touch their physical body. There may be somebody who needs to change in their life circumstance, and they can't figure out how to get it done. They need a miracle. And they're praying and they're asking you. I know you're faithful, God. Your word says faithful is he who has promised, and he will also do it. Thank you, God, for doing it. If you're sick in your body right now, I'm going to speak this word over you. I want you to receive it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Here it is, the benefit, meaning that God will deal with your life. God will recompense you a benefit. A benefit is something positive. A benefit is something that belongs to an individual because they are a part of a family. A benefit is something that belongs to you. It's an assistance, something that can help. God says, forget not all his benefits. And here we go. It says here in verse 3, he forgives all your iniquity. Even if you've made mistakes, God is not asking you to be guilty. He's asking you to repent. He's not asking you to be ashamed. He's asking you to repent. He'll break the power of iniquity. He will forgive and erase. He heals or healeth all of thy diseases. I love it. Anything comforts you. Sickness, disease, infirmity. Break it now, God. Break it. Who forgives all your iniquities, healeth all your diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction. Whatever the destroyer is trying to do in your life right now, I break it right now in the name of Jesus. He will crown you with loving kindness and tender mercy and satisfy your mouth with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagle. He will not leave you oppressed. He is a deliverer. He bore your sicknesses, bore your diseases in his body on the tree, and every stripe that he took on his back was for your healing. I pray it now. May you be healed in the name of Jesus. The supernatural power of God go out right now through these radio waves. Healed in the name of Jesus. This is the birthright. A woman talking to God that didn't even deserve to be healed said to him, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. If you are a child of God, you are not a dog. You are a son in the house. You are to lift your hands right now, give God some praise, and receive your healing. You are to lift your hands right now, give God some praise, and receive your deliverance. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I pray that your strength be renewed like the eagle. I pray that God, Christ the healer, touch you, every fiber of your being. Begin to change the course of the situation. If you're in prison, may he set you free. If you're sick, may he deliver you from sickness, disease, infirmity. If you're struggling in a situation, God said he will make a way of escape. God, open every door. God, open doors for Paul and Silas. Open doors to the prison for Peter. He can open the door to any prison that you find yourself in. I came to tell you tonight, because of the miraculous God, because of his power, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall be able to prosper, and there is no force in the universe that can hold you if God wants you free. If the Lord is for you, no one can be against you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now. And I thank you right now that even after I go off the air, somebody's praising you and magnifying you and creating an atmosphere for miracles. I pray right now that there is victory in their houses right now, that you're delivering your people and touching them right now. And I thank you for it right now. Touch your people, God. As I go off the air, I want to make this one announcement to let you know that you can watch Apostle Stanley Williams, that's myself, and Apostle Bettina Williams, on Preach the Word Network or on www.preachthewordnetwork.com. You can watch us on Comcast Cable Channel 195 in Tallahassee, Florida region, on Roku, Vizio CoStar, on your smartphone and notebooks. I mean, God is blessing. We come on every Friday night at 7:30. It's awesome. That's 8:30 CDT. I mean, 7:30 p.m. CDT and 8:30 p.m. EDT, Eastern Standard Time. Listen, God is blessing, and I want you to be blessed. I want you to trust God. Also, you can join us tomorrow at Lighthouse of Faith Community Church, 755 Lovejoy Road in the beautiful city of Fort Walton Beach, Florida. We would love to have you come out and experience the miracle-working power. And now, as I always do, I want to say this to you as I get ready to turn it over into the hands of our capable moderator. God is able to keep you from falling. And now here is our powerful moderator, Minister Kevin Vaughn. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm ready for refreshing.
Lord, I'm ready for rain. I'm ready for those miracles I have not seen, ear has not heard. Let them fall again. Living water be here.
Yes, Jesus.
I don't want to thirst after tonight. How many ready for a move of God?
All glory to God, ladies and gentlemen. This has been another powerful program from Apostle Stanley Williams. God bless you. Until next time, have a great rest of the evening, no matter if it's morning, noon, or night. And make sure you go to church somewhere to praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.